Hanti Lila, Chapter 5, Nityananda's Transcendental Associates. We're hearing their glories, name, and fame, and specific contributions which we should take deeply into our minds and hearts and pray to these great Nityasiddha Parishads of Nityananda and Gauranga and Radha and Krishna. They will bless us with some reflection of a minute drop of one of their qualities. Radhe Janma Mahashaya Dvija Krishnadas Nityananda Parishadhe Janhara Vilas. Dvija Krishnadas Mahashaya was born in Radhesh. He enjoyed the association of Nityananda's associates. So there's a particular area in West Bengal. It's called Radhesh. It's long A, Radha, not Radha. Radhadesh is Radhakund. Where else? And all of Vrindavan, actually, because she's Vrindavaneshri Radharani ki Jai. But this is Radhesh. So it's certainly close enough to probably make a lot of people think of Radharani. So what were his specialities? His vishesh gun, exceptional characteristics and attributes of his divine persona. He was an enjoyer, like all of us. But he wasn't enjoying bhog vilas. He was enjoying sankirtan vilas, Nityananda's lila vilas. This is transcendental enjoyment. Param jistva nivartate. His eyes and heart were fixed in the highest possible conception of pleasure. Param jistva nivartate. Param dristi. Paramjusti means to see that real pleasure, unlimited, eternal, and ultimately unlimitedly variegated joy and bliss can be found if one looks very far and very long distance. Paramjustva. If he looks to the transcendental realm where the Lord and his eternal associates reside and forever enjoy their ever ongoing Astakalya Leelas and Navadvip Dham and Vrindavan Dham. That is the abode of ultimate pleasure. Krishna, the reservoir of pleasure. So he enjoyed Nityananda Parishad Janhara Vilas. Vilas means many things. It means pleasure pastimes. It means intimate enjoyment with one's beloved. But this enjoyment was intimate, it was confidential, and it was among Nityananda's Parishads. In other words, this devotee, Dvija Krishnadas Mahashaya Ki
Jai,
he was part of the entourage of Lord Nityananda, and Lord Nityananda was delegated by Mahaprabhu in Puri to go and preach Nam Sankirtan and Krishna Bhakti, Braj Bhakti. And he took with him a party of six devotees, and they traveled northward back to West Bengal from Puri and stopped in Panihati Gram and Endi Yahaha Gram and some different villages along the way, visiting the homes and ancestral villages of some of the entourage he was traveling with. And in those villages, they did Harinam Sankirtan, and they preached, and they liberated Muslims and all kinds of interesting people, and changed their hearts and liberated them, actually gave them love of God, and reformed their entire existence. And then he finally made it to Mayapur, and he met Mother Sachi, and she requested Nittai to stay nearby and drop in every month or so and say hi. Say hello and Hari Bol and do Sankirtan so I can hear something glorious about my Lord, or just remember my beloved son, Nimai Sachinandan, because simply by seeing you, I think of him, and I think of both of you together, and that enriches my heart. To see those that are connected with one's beloved as a source of experiencing the presence of one's beloved in the mental corner of our minds, which are filled with the remembrance, and that corner of our heart, which pines in separation for our beloved, becomes somewhat pacified and soothed by meeting an associate who is connected with our dear one. So this was the viewpoint of Mother Shachi. And to fulfill that inner need of her heart, crying for her beloved son's association, she requested merciful Kripa Mayi Nittai to stay nearby and drop in occasionally for Mahaprasadam and Sadhu Sangha. And he would bring his party, of course. He doesn't go alone. So this particular, he enjoyed an association of devotees. And that's everywhere told, Satam Prasangam Mamavirya Samvado, that when one has tight association with pure devotees, then it's very beneficial for his spiritual improvement and very, very satisfying to his heart. And when one has actually experienced the joy of associating with devotees and relished that inner divine higher taste of saintly sangha, then it's very easy to leave the material world and all its trappings and allurements. It's simply but a pile of stool. When it was time to leave his home and his kingdom and palace and his hundreds of queens and 100 illustrious sons, he walked away from it all with just the clothes on his body. Didn't take anything. No money, no anything. He just walked away, and it says that he walked away. Actually, it's Maharaj Bharat. I think it's Bharat Maharaj. Bye-bye Maya. So he said goodbye to his Maya wife and house and kids and the whole kingdom. And he was a very old man. He was like, there was nothing left anymore. He had enjoyed completely. He was a very old man of 24 years old. Of course, in those days, people got married early. He probably got married when he was 16 or so, like Abhimanyu. Abhimanyu married Uttara, and in Uttara's womb was Parikshit. And as you know, he was 16 years old on the battlefield, and he was slaughtered by the Ma, whatever they are, Ma, Nirdoys, the Maha Ati Nirdoy Senapatis. Nirdoy means no compassion. They have some other appellation that goes with their name, but we don't choose to refer to them like that. At any rate, he was 16 and annihilated in Kurukshetra, and he's the son of whom? Arjun. And he was married. So King Bharat conceivably got married when he was 16 or 14, and after 8 years or 10 years of marriage, he said goodbye. Obviously, that was very good instruction, but it's very difficult to follow. We're not 24, we're 44, and we don't have 100 wives, we have one something called a wife. And we don't have a palace in a vast kingdom. We have one little pigeonhole and some building called apartment. And we're thoroughly and 100% attached. Nobody could even blow us out of our apartment. And that's about what it might take to get some people to move. If the apartment house blows up next door by a terrorist, then you may think about moving, at least to another neighborhood. So he, Dvijit Krishnadas Mahashaya, he was enjoying in the association of Nityananda's associates. Oftentimes, devotee-type people, spiritual people, people that are inclined to turn their face towards God and live a life of divine sublimity, often they're a lonely bunch. They dance to the tune of a different drummer. Invariably, they're not ordinary people. They're very rare. Sadurlabham. Someone who accepts that the purpose of life is to surrender to God and to love God and ultimately attain one's divine form and return to the divine plane of spiritual reality with the Lord is a very rare person, and consequently he's a type of an outcast. He doesn't usually fit the ordinary mold of the mundane materialist of the age he's living in, be it whatever age it is, especially in Kali Yuga, when 90% of the people are atheists. So when he chooses to go full on with God, so to speak, irregardless of the ashram that he may land up in, he may land up in some ashram, obviously, because there's still some culture in India. He may land up as a kshatriya, in a grihastha ashram, or be married, or be single as a brahmachari, celibate person, or a retired person, or a renounced, detached person. But generally, the masses of people will think the person is crazy, deranged, demented, something gone wrong with his brain cells. So they're rare. And often if you look at these type of people that take serious spiritual life, they dropped out of school, they never worked, they ran away from home when they were teenagers and traveled the world for 10 years hitchhiking and going here and there. This is the general life history of devotees, a very different group. A budding career, is blooming, arising before them, and they simply turn their face on and walk away. Even their parents come and say, listen, I'll give you $5 million. I'll build you your own house. I'll build you a lavish and beautiful ornate temple in your own house or in the next property. Just leave the temple. Get married. Help with the family business. And then the brahmachari looks at his father and says, no thanks. This is a rare person, and every devotee has a story to tell. And if 100 ordinary people hear the story, they'll say, very extraordinary people these are. And that's what amazes them. How is it? You were this, you were that. My dear sir, I was nothing. It was all zeros, as Prabhupada often told us. I am MBBS, PhD, 2 PhDs in psychology, London, Switzerland, America, this, that. And all that long, long tale, Prabhupada said, ends up, and my family was of millionaires and this and that. That means zero, 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 Z, 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 Z. Z, 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 soon you're dead. Z in India means zero, for those who don't know. Z, 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 soon you're dead. Unless you put Krishna there. No longer dread. But then, when you have a group like this in a temple of all these iconoclasts and independent personalities, it's very difficult to make some synergy or some harmony in a temple. Having been in charge of a temple and a group of young ladies and gentlemen, I understood they were all unique individuals, and they wanted their individual space. They relished it, they needed it, they liked it, and they felt happy in that, but at the same time they needed support and some foundation to go forward in their spiritual practices, a regulated program, as they say. And oftentimes when there was group functions, people generally would reluctantly go to kirtans or to classes, artiks, mangalarti, But prasadam, that's a necessity of life, so that was a joyful group participation, full harmony, no discordance. Every instrument was vibrating perfectly in tune. All the strings were exactly in tune. And all the stringed instruments and the percussion instruments and rhythm instruments, triangles, everything was playing nicely. The fat devotee, the thin devotee, the young, the old, the children, everybody was having a grand, unified, joyful time at the time of prasadam, which we saw. I was always piqued by the idea that why can't we create this same atmosphere and joyful mutual acceptance of all the group programs like Bhagavatam class and Mangal Arati, etc. And festivals. Oftentimes there's a big festival and all the devotees in the temple run away. I don't like crowds. And we say, but we're organizing a festival. There's so many Indian life members, so many people coming. And yeah, but you know. So they do their part and disappear. They play their part. And where's so-and-so? I don't know. He did his thing and he disappears. So we don't actually know how to enjoy the association of devotees. This is what I'm trying to say. Because of our nature and our conditioning and our, let's say, conditioning and our contamination, our inner mental contamination, we can't really love anybody except our stomachs and our minds who we serve so dutifully. Every person serves their mind as if it's the most voluptuous, intimate, confidential, satisfying lover they ever had. That's the mind. They may have a beautiful wife or a handsome husband, but still the mind gets priority over where my affection goes and where my attention and love goes. This is an interesting point he's making here. Vrindavan Das Thakur, he's extracting one jewel from the ocean-like qualities of each of these devotees. The ocean is a source of jewels, as you know. And this is a jewel that we should wear in our crown of devotion. This jewel-like message here, this Ratna Sandesh, jewel-like message is that, look, Dvija Krishna Das Mahashaya, he's enjoying associating with devotees. He's relishing it. Really, truly, he's relishing it. He's happy, he's satisfied, he's blissful. He doesn't want to give it up. He can't, oh, the kirtan's over. Oh, the class is over. Oh, it's so wonderful. Oh, this festival is over. And he pines in separation and longs for the next one. This is what the spiritual world is all about. Spiritual world is a huge satsang. It's a huge society of lovers of Krishna. And everyone's relishing Krishna's association and union and separation. And everyone's relishing the association of all of Krishna's associates and union and separation. When Radharani comes to Nandagram to cook Krishna's breakfast in the morning, Mother Yashoda is so much happy to see her, and she said, I missed you so much. I dreamed of you last night. I missed you. Oh, Radharani, you're like my daughter. Why has fate separated us? Why has destiny separated you from me? Why do you have to be living in Javit? I have to wait 24 long hours to see you again. I'm always thinking of you and wanting to send some prasadam and engage you. Oh, make some sweets for Krishna's afternoon snack. He's coming back from the cows. Oh, come and make his breakfast. I'm always thinking of you. And now you've come before my eyes. Ah, Radhika. And then she runs. Yashoda runs to embrace Radharani when she walks into the palace in Nandagram. She's crying and her breast milk is flowing. She's 90 years old. The intensity of love and appreciating the association of the lovers of Krishna. This is Yashoda's example of how much she appreciates Radharani. So she's enjoying, this Krishna Parishad Vilas, she's enjoying associating with Krishna's associates. Radharani's not her daughter, not her bua, or whatever they call it, daughter-in-law, Bahu, not her Bahu, and she's just Radharani. Of course, Yashoda has some vague idea that her son is a little interested in this girl. Because sometimes she tells Krishna, she says, listen, Lala, before you go out for cowherding, you have to go in a temple and chant your mantra. You know, you got some mantra when Garga Muni came to visit. He gave you some mantra, so you should go in the Narayan temple. They have a temple of Lakshmi Narayan. You should go in the temple of Narayan and sit there and chant your mantra. So in the temple, so the mantra is some, whatever, Vedic mantra. But the only mantra that Lala wants to chant, Nanda Lala wants to chant, is Radha. So then he goes in to the temple room, and there's one beautiful parrot there in a golden cage singing for Lord Narayan. So then Lala, Nandalal, Yashodanandan, he says, hey, Shuk, hey, Tota, Shuno, I want to teach you a mantra. Dharani, 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 Dharani. Dharani is the name for Mother Earth, Prithvi, that goddess who holds everything up. Dharani, Dharani. And sing it very slowly. Dharani, so he's teaching the parrot, Dara, Dharani, Dharani, Dara. So then the parrot sing, Dharani, Dharani, Dharani. After some time, Dharani became Radha, 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 Radha. And Nandalal's listening, and he's like, heck, forget the mantra that Garga Muni gave him. Garga Muni. Forget that. He was just saying, ah. And then Mother Yashoda looked in and said, oh, Lala, have you finished your mantra? Yes, yes, almost finished. And meanwhile, tears are pouring down Krishna's heart. First, the heart has to shed tears. And he's trying, that the heart is just pouring out tears like Niagara Falls, famous waterfalls in Canada. But not to indicate that inner bliss of his smaran of Radharani simply by hearing her name, then Krishna tried to keep the tears from gushing out of his love-filled lotus eyes. So this is enjoying the association, Nityananda's associates, Dvija Krishnadas. Let's hear about another Krishnadas, and actually we're all Krishnadas and Krishnadasi, so the lesson here is seek your fortune with the devotees. Seek your fortune in Sangha. That's where you'll find it. Our tendency is to be loners, to go away from people, to shy to ourselves, as they say. It's good. Solitary bhajan, nirjan bhajan has its place, and it may be the place where one lands up at some point in his life forever. But even the greatest bhajanandi nirjan sadhus, niskinchan sadhus, they relish sarusanga. And they relish utsavs, tirubhav utsav. How great siddha mahatmas, they come together, thousands of them come together and do kirtan and pat and honor prasadam with great ulas. Vaishnav Savadan. Vaishnav Savadan. Vaishnavs, be careful. You're eating, you're honoring too much Mahaprasad, too much Mahapoa and Kheer. Utsavs have shock, Mahapoa and Kheer. Good Utsav. Mahapoa is required. Poa, Mahapoa. It's like a pancake type thing. Mahapoa. So someone says, Vaishnav Savadan, and everyone's laughing, enjoying the Mahaprasad and Sangha with the others. Then someone replies, pipes back, Akanta Puriya! We're eating up to our neck. We're only eating to our neck. We're careful. Be careful, don't eat up to your eyes. You won't be able to see your way back to your ashram. Prasiddha Kaliya Krishna Dasa Tribhavan. Gora Chandra Labhyahaya Janhara Smaran. The next featured devotee here is Kaliya Krishna Das. Kaliya Krishnadas was famous throughout the three worlds. By remembering him, one can attain Gaurachandra. Some of these devotees, as we've been hearing, they are touchstones and portals to higher realms of spiritual reality. And some of them are relishing internal ecstasies. But all of them are relishing internal bliss and joy in Krishna consciousness associated with Nitya and the other devotees, but some of them are described as relishing and distributing and benefiting others. Of course, they're also part of the Sankirtan party, but they're not noted for that particular quality. They enjoyed. Some were with the association of Nityananda's associates enjoying. And other ones, if you saw them, you would become Krishna conscious. So this devotee says, by remembering Kaliya Krishnadas, one can attain Gaurachandra. Gaurachandra labhya haya janhara smarane. So it seems that a lot of people must be becoming Gaurachandra conscious and Lord Chaitanya conscious, because it says by remembering him, Kaliya Krishnadas smaran, then you become greedy to attain Gaurachandra, you labhya, lobe, you attain, you acquire, you reach, you realize, you perceive, you receive the presence of Gaurachandra in your life, Gaurasundar, Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya. So that's what happens if you remember him, and it seems that lots of people are remembering him, because it said in the first sentence that he was preceded Trubhavane, that he was... His perfection was famous throughout the three worlds. So he's famous throughout the three worlds. That means everybody's remembering him and everyone's thinking of him. So that means the whole three worlds, Bhur, Bhuva, Swa, are remembering Lord Gaurachandra. It can be thought like that. If he's famous, that means people know him. If you know somebody and you're famous, then people remember you. If they hear about you, oh yeah, I know him, he's famous. But what about us? Do we know him? Have we ever heard of Kaliya Krishnadas? We've heard of Kaliya. And we're trying to be Krishnadas. But have we heard of Kaliya? It's the Kaliya in us prevents us from being Krishnadas. The Kaliya in us is that anartha of poisoning others by our association, by talking prajapa. That's biting people with fangs. Fangs are the prominent poison-filled teeth of the snake, or sarp. Sharp, whatever it is. So Kaliya had such fangs, and he's repeatedly biting the butter-soft body of Gopal while he was dancing merrily on his hoods. But how can his poison affect Anantashesh? Gopal is Anantashesh. So if Anantashesh has enough of his own poison, so a little fire can't affect a big fire. If you have a big fire and you take a fiery ghee lamp and throw it in there, the fire won't go out. It'll simply eat that fire. Oh, very nice. And eat that ghee lamp. So Kaliya biting Gopal's legs furiously with his poison fangs, Krishna just felt like he was getting a massage on his legs while he was dancing. When you're dancing, your legs may get tired, so those little fang bites were like little, you know, different moves in massage. You press and you knead the muscles and you press them and then you roll them. So Krishna was getting a nice leg massage while he was dancing. Some hoods were biting him and other hoods were the dancing stage. 100 hoods were there. So that tendency to make aparads and to offend the Vaishnavas with the poison of prajapa and the poison of envy, that's represented by Kaliya. But this is another point at hand here, that Kaliya Krishnadas was famous throughout the three worlds, that he was a touchstone of remembrance. If anyone met him, they would remember Lord Gaurachandra. So what does that mean? They would just see him and remember Lord Gaurachandra? Possibly. That's also possible. Because one is generally when one has intimate connection with another one, if you see one, you think of the other. And even inquire as such. If Mr. and Mrs. Jones are your friends, then you meet Mrs. Jones and you say, oh, where's Mr. Jones? You remember Mr. Jones and inquire about him. Where's he? Oh, he couldn't make it to this function, but he'll come a little later. Oh, how is he? And then you're seeing them, but your mind is going to another person. It often happens with gurus and disciples that someone meets a godbrother, and that godbrothers come from a country where Prabhupada was. So, oh, Krishnadas, where you came from? Oh, I came from India. Oh, from where? Oh, Mayapur. Oh, really? How's Prabhupada? So we saw him, and then we didn't even ask how he was. Or we see someone, and you remember Mahaprasad. Like some devotees, they're always intimately connected with Mahaprasad. So when you see them, then you say, where's my Mahaprasad? So that's also a way to remind others of Lord Chaitanya. When you meet them, you'll always speak about Lord Chaitanya. Oh, I just read this. I just heard this Gaur Leela. I just heard this Krishna Leela. Then you become a Krishna touch, Krishna Smarana touchstone, Krishna Smarana Chintamani. You become an agent of transformation. If somebody meets you, then they'll remember Krishna. This is also told that the pure devotee of the Lord has such prabhav that if someone sees him, they not only remember God, but they start glorifying God. When one sees a pure devotee, they start chanting the holy name of God. Hare Krishna. Have you heard that before? That's quite a prevalent statement. So this is the influence and power of the Vaishnavas. Simply their presence brings the remembrance of God. And this is what we're saying. By remembering him, one can attain Gaura Chandra. Prabhupada understood this principle, and he wanted all of us, all of his disciples and all of his followers to be agents of remembrance of God. Because the entire world is full of forgetfulness of God. That is the biggest problem in the world. There's no shortage of anything except a shortage of Krishna consciousness. This was stated by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. There is no food shortage, although they try to trump it up and make people believe that. There's a shortage of Krishna consciousness or God consciousness or remembrance of God. So then countries throw thousands of tons of grains in the ocean to control the grain prices. And they make a bunch of ghee and they put it in caves and keep it there until it rots and then throw it out to inflate the ghee prices. And this way they control everything because of their demoniac nature. So there's no shortage of food or oil or anything. In this world, there's a shortage of God consciousness. So Prabhupada wanted us all to be walking, talking, moving, living, breathing, agents of remembrance of God. Therefore, he changed our dress. He changed our appearance, what to speak of our behavior, and most importantly, he changed our minds and hearts. Cheto Darpana Marjanam. So when people... any way people contact us, they remember God. So as Kali Krishnadas is an agent of bringing people to God or Lord Chaitanya, he's so powerful just by remembering him one can attain Gaura Chandra. But it also applies today. If you remember Prabhupada, if I remember Prabhupada, I'll attain Krishna, no doubt about that. And especially at the time of death, if I remember Prabhupada, then I will attain Gaura Chandra by remembering Prabhupada. He has the same power of Kali Krishnadas. So Prabhupada wanted us to be external. In every way, he wanted us to be 24/7 agents of remembrance of Krishna, God, to counteract the contamination and pollution of demoniac energy in this world. There's a whole world. Everything, everyone in this world and everything in this world is created, designed, moving, acting, and existing to take people away from God. Factories, cars, malls, apartments, music, dress, fashion, modes of thinking, behavior, it's all demoniac. God made the country, the demons made the cities. Simple as that. God made the country for human beings to live in. Demons made the cities for demons to live in. And anybody who lives in one becomes a demon. Can't but be. So then he said, listen, gentlemen, shave your heads. Wear a shika. This is a part of Varnashram Dharma. Lord Chaitanya doesn't have a shika in the spiritual world. He has long hair. This is a symbol of in Varnashram Dharma of a Hindu Vaishnava. Wear tilak on your forehead. This is the marks of Vishnu. The Christians call it the mark of the devil, but it's actually the mark of God. They count as, you're the mark, you're the devil. That says in the Bible that the devil has a mark on his forehead. They said, that's right. I'm the devil. I'm going to destroy your meat eating and destroy your whiskey drinking and destroy your going to church on Sunday. And I'm going to make you a vegetarian and make you go to church every day. So wherever we go, people say, what's that on your face? Some bird did something on your face? The less respectful ones, which is the majority of Americans. I say, no, actually this is a symbol, a sacred symbol. This is made from clay from India, from a holy place. And it's very powerful, sacred clay. And this particular symbol means that one has dedicated his heart and mind to the goal of loving God. This is a seal, like a government seal, a stamp, like you have a postage stamp. You put on the letter and it authorizes that piece of paper to go from point to point. So this is my postage stamp. It authorizes me to go from this material world to the spiritual world. Right. I'm the parcel and this is my stamp. A special express mail. Courier. They have a special division of the post office called Express Mail. In the private sector, they have courier mail. So this is an express. That's why it's shaped like an arrow, because I'm going super fast. Yeah. These two points, this is the bow and this is the arrow. I mean, that's for the general public. For the more spiritually inclined, then there is on the one side is Brahma, one side is Shiva, in the middle is Vishnu, and this is the Tulsi leaf, this is Vrindavan, this is Radha and Krishna, this is the Jiva. There are many things described in various shastras and by realized souls. But by wearing these marks of a Vaishnava and the dhoti, kurta, sari, and the prominent Tulsi Mala, and what to speak of the broken hands and the slings that everyone wears. Broken hand means you have your hand in a bead bag, and the straps around your neck are the sling of your supporting your broken arm. And the people in the stores feel very sorry for you. Oh, sir, you're so young. How did you break your arm? And so I was sporting around. See this? I was playing with these beads. I broke my arm. So they think like that in the West. They say, oh, what happened to you? Oh, you poor thing. You know, you're a little kid. You're 24 years old and some big fat mama, you know, those kind of lady at the supermarket changing your goods. You know, very different type of background type people. And they say, oh, you little thing. You poor little thing. What happened to your wrist? You broke your hand. I said, no, I'm okay. I take it out like that. Oh, what is that? I thought that was a sling. I said, no, this is my rosary beads. You know the Christians, the monks, they have, yeah, this is like that, rosary beads. This is my prayer beads. my worry beads. I worry on these beads. I worry whether or not I'm going to make spiritual advancement when I chant Hare Krishna. And I cry on these beads. These are my crying beads. I keep track of my crying. Every time I cry, I move one bead. I'm crying for God. So I promise that I'm going to cry 108 times every day. See, look, ma'am. See, this is me in the center, the head bead. Actually, it's Radha and Krishna. But I'm standing there, and then I walk around these 108 beads, and I cry in each one. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus, have mercy on me. Oh, Jesus, have mercy on me. Oh, Krishna, have mercy on me. Oh, Krishna, have mercy on me. Oh, Krishna. Oh, Radha. Oh, Radha and Krishna, have mercy on me. And after I cry 108 times, and then I put back in the bag, and then I do my work. Oh, that's nice. How would I get those crying beads? I call them crying beads. People say, because everything, it should be clever to open up the avenue for preaching. You see, these are japa beads. I mean, what the hell is japa anyway? No, you have to think of the conditioned souls in America. They know they're coming from zero point. And if you're compassionate and loving, you want to cleverly and lovingly and compassionately up and bring them forward and attract them with tricks, with language, with humor, with love, with cleverness. Of course, it's all shastrically based. It's the finesse of the devotee, surrendered devotee. He finds the ways and means to explain everything, even to a 5-year-old. This is Prabhupada's perfection. He could explain everything about Krishna consciousness to a 3-year-old, 5-year-old. If someone makes inquiry, that's the beginning of their spiritual life. If someone meets you and just asks anything, and that's why Prabhupada created this situation of ISKCON, is that he wanted to turn the whole world towards God. And the agents of that remembrance are all the Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis. And they started going around in Levi's and shirts and karmi clothes and hide their neck beads and don't wear a tilak and the ladies want to put their bead bags in their shoulder bags or pocketbooks because they're shy and embarrassed to wear a bead bag. And then they're covering the thing. They're doing violence to the people. Our bodies belong to Guru and God. Okay, some husband or wife or mother is trying to claim false proprietorship of the body for a moment of time. But for all time and all places, every jiva belongs to God. Property of God. When you go to jail, I don't recommend it, but if you go to jail, I went to jail. I was selling books. I got arrested a couple of times, put in a San Francisco jail with 6 other devotees. We also went to jail to preach. Haridas Thakur went to jail also. But when you see there some of the people have a uniform and it says, it's printed there with a stencil, a black stencil, it says, property of Folsom Prison. So it means the clothes belong to the prison, but it also means you belong to the prison as long as you're wearing the clothes. So when we wear Vaishnav clothes, sari and dhoti, and the marks and symbols of Vaishnav, bead bag, tilak, kantimala, that's our stencil on our forehead that says, property of Sri Krishna, property of Sri Guru. And that's not a prison, that's the means of escape from the prison of Durga, the means of escape from this material world, to always identify as Krishna's eternal servant and always project that to the world and preach on that principle that everyone's Krishna's servant. Be fearless, be confident, be proud, be secure, and be blissful. This is the makeup of the Vaishnava and Vaishnavi. We are right, we are perfect, we are correct, and we know it, but we're humble. And everybody else is incorrect, they're imperfect, they're wrong, and they're sinful. We are all right, and they are wrong. This is actually the fact. If anyone doubts it for a moment, that means they haven't realized the existential reality of this world. with that newfound knowledge and those divine revelations that descend upon one by the mercy of Guru and God, one is not permitted to claim that as his own or to be proud. So therefore, our whole existence is couched with the very phrase which should be our necklace. Trinadapi sunichina turori vasihishana amanina amanidena kirtinya sundari. Humility, humility, humility. H and H, honor and humility. Honor all and be humble yourself. That's the key to Krishna consciousness. So we'll continue tomorrow to hear about other glorious devotees.